I'm in Rugby Town. I'm in the conservatory of one Lillian Pellacrolopoulos, and I pop round occasionally to get updates on a campaign that Lillian has been involved in how many years now?
Well, the Rugby and Plume campaign group, I joined it about 9 years ago, but the whole group was going for about 10 years.
And things have come on quite a lot. It's incredible the amount of work you put in, and yet almost the increase in the deaf ears it's all falling on as things keep forging ahead and strange occurrences are happening between, well, you tell us who's involved in this. These are your words, not mine. The largest environmental crime going on right now in the UK. How do you back up that statement?
I back up that statement by pointing out the simple facts that all what we call wet and semi-wet processed cement plants in Europe and the UK are being closed down because you cannot control the emissions and because they cost so much in terms of carbon dioxide, electricity, and they are therefore very environmentally damaging with masses of greenhouse gases being emitted, totally unnecessary. The reason this has arisen is because they have put the cement plant in the middle of a town with no raw materials.
What kind of cement plant is this, wet or dry?
No, this is a semi-wet plant. If you have a dry plant, it's usually at the quarry where the chalk and clay come from, and so therefore you don't need to dry out the chalk and clay first. In Rugby, they pump the chalk, 2 million tonnes of it, 55 miles underground in a 40% sewage slurry with chemical additives called polymers, which are what we call slurry thinners. When this arrives in the town of Rugby, right in the town centre's smokeless zone, it therefore has to be dried out before it can be cooked. This means that you have a massive wet plume, which then falls much closer to the area. A dry process plant has a dry plume, which goes away and it actually disperses properly. But a wet process plume falls as it cools when it comes out, and it therefore falls much closer onto the people. And this is particularly bad because the location is just on the western edge of a 60,000 strong town of people. So naturally, it's the worst possible location.
What's the direction of the plume then? Is it going away from the town primarily? Is that why they... I understand there's been a cement works there for 100-odd years. This is obviously a different beast because of the expansion that occurred a few years back. Is the plume travelling away from Rugby?
No, as in the UK, the wind is predominantly from the southwest, and so it blows across to the northeast or to the east. And the town of Rugby is right to the east, is exactly to the east of the cement plant. This is the seventh kiln that they've put on this spot. But the whole problem with it is that they didn't have any environmental impact assessment before they built the plant.
How can you do that legally?
They can't do it legally, and there's been court cases all through the courts in the UK, right to the House of Lords, explaining why this was wrong and shouldn't have happened. But even the Lords used their discretion against the people of Rugby to say that this was OK by them not to have this impact assessment.
OK, so the Lords have discretion. What's going through their minds, do you think? Is it, well, we really, really need cement, therefore this is as good a place as any?
I think that's exactly right, and also because the Environment Agency and Warwickshire County Council gave it permission, and if we win our case, it would have to be closed down, which will cost the country millions in compensation.
Excuse my ignorance. When you say the Environment Agency, I have in my mind a picture of a lovely green-logoed organisation that works alongside the government, I guess, helping to ensure our environment is protected. Is that their job?
Well, that's what one would imagine would be the job, and that's what we thought, the people of Rugby thought in the beginning, but we realise now that they are actually a permitting agency and they are a permitting to pollute agency. Obviously, they should be making sure the emissions are as least as possible and preventing, and where that's not possible, minimising. But in the case of Rugby, because the Environment Agency was set up from Her Majesty's Inspectors of Pollution in 1996, it was actually run by people that were in that organisation, which is mostly the bosses of industry. And people like the general managers of Rugby Cement were running the Environment Agency and the chairman of the board, that kind of thing. Well, obviously, you know, it's like putting the cat among the pigeons. Or it's like putting the what expression can I use?
I don't know, but it sounds like a lot of people were working within the organisations whose didn't really have the town's best interests at heart, and it was more about business. Am I right?
Well, I think that's exactly right. That's what I meant to say. You know, that it was to do with business for the UK and getting cement. And now it's become a problem of getting cement as cheaply as possible. So this week, they've compounded this whole disastrous situation by Warwickshire County Council giving a planning permission for a 500,000 tonne a year waste plant near the cement works in the town of Rugby, where we've only got 15,000 tonnes of waste every year. This means it's going to come not only from Warwickshire, but from all over the country and even further away.
As in internationally, they'll be importing household waste.
Well, I couldn't be sure on that because they won't tell us where the waste is coming from. They wouldn't even let the county councillors know where the waste was coming from. They wouldn't even let them go to visit any waste plant, although they're bringing in waste from five or six places at the moment. And we do know that they had a contract with Holland for 3 years to ship in RDF, refuse-derived fuel, which they call climate fuel, into Hull to be burnt at the South Ferriby cement plant. So I have no idea where it's coming from.
So you'd imagine with the massive logistics that are in place when you're talking about bringing fuel into the plant, bringing the raw materials into the plant, that normally, ideally, a plant has to be situated in amongst fuel and in amongst the materials that are required to make cement. But the fuel that's being brought in is, in fact, rubbish, massive amounts of waste, and how's it being brought in?
It was all being brought in by lorry, because when they built the new plant in Rugby, they actually built part of it on the railway line and shut the railway line. So whereas historically there had been some import of coal into the plant by railway, they actually permitted them, the county council, to build a bagging plant on it, which is compounding the problem. And over the years, they've nodded through many retrospective planning permissions, allowing them to increase the capacity of the plant without any study of the environmental impact. So year on year, the emissions of things like cadmium, mercury, arsenic, particulates, PAH, PCB, dioxins, all these kind of things are getting much, much more. And there's, you know, it's just dispersing onto the town or into the town. And we have got health effects in Rugby. We cannot say that the cement plant is causing them, but we do have areas of multiple deprivation, which are shown up on the government's own league tables all around the cement plants. We have an air quality management area for nitrogen dioxide from lorries and traffic, and we have high levels of particulate pollution and increasing PM2.5 pollution over the last 3 years.
Now, PM2.5, they're very, very, very small particles, I imagine.
They are very small particles, and that's why they're extremely dangerous. They have all this cadmium, thallium, arsenic, etc. absorbed onto them, and then it passes through the lungs and out into the bloodstream, and they can cause heart attacks, health damage, they can cause autism, mental problems, kidney problems, cancer. It's extremely, extremely dangerous. And it's
so is this the kind of pollution that's coming directly out of the plume? Because this is the most visible kind of pollution you see. Although, speaking from experience of living by the cement works for a good chunk of my youth, I remember playing in the fields around and everything being coated with a grey, which I believe was more what I've learnt is called fugitive dust, dust that actually comes from the surrounding areas, the operation, general operation of the plant. Now, surely the traffic causes a certain amount, and all the trucks coming in and out cause a certain amount. So is all of that being taken into consideration when they are measuring pollution emitted by a plant like this?
No, it isn't, because they can't. It's very difficult to monitor pollution either on the main stack or on the other 17 smaller stacks or the fugitive dust, because fugitive means exactly that from the Latin, and it's flying out and it can come out of anywhere at any time. In a big cement plant like this, making about 2 million tonnes a year, you've got endless amounts, miles of tubes and cyclones and different places. And it's all under pressure, so it will force its way out of any place it can. Plus, of course, the lorries are carrying the steaming bypass dust, which is a hazardous dust. They're carrying that to the nearest quarry, which is about 12 miles away, where, incidentally, the clay comes from. So that's all on the roads going along. There is probably less visible dust at the moment than there was before, because they've been under so much scrutiny since all this court action started against them. And I think the agency is watching them on that aspect. The problem is the old plant only had 300,000 tonnes a year manufactured, and it had about 60 lorries a day. This one is getting on for 2 million tonnes a year, and it has about 800 lorries a day already. Now they want to build the waste plant with another 400 lorries a day. This, you know, lorries are very dangerous. The traffic is very dangerous. And all of it has to blow to the east onto us.
Now, quite a few years ago, before I was kind of in a position to be able to move away, which is the ultimate decision I made, to remove myself from the threat, because I just saw what we used to call jokingly as the Temple of Doom being built ever so bigger and faster and just looming over what was our neighbourhood. I wanted to do this little photographic project, and I went around photographing the cement works from different angles, and I was trying to get the cement works framed by people's houses, photographs from their kitchen, photographs. And I got a couple, I got a few, but overall I got a feeling of we really don't want to take these people on. We really don't want to stick our necks out. We really don't want to get involved in anything that's going to look bad. And it wasn't a project that was connected or attached to any campaign. This was me just trying to show you how in the face of the local community this massive plant was. And I found it very difficult to get people to assist and help. They just wanted to lie low, almost to ignore its even existence. How are you finding with your campaign? What kind of support? How much help are you getting? What's the general feeling amongst the people that live in and around Rugby?
There's a lot of problems with it because they're all being bought off. The communities are given a lot of money. They keep paying for things like £50,000 for St Oswald's Church Hall to be done up. Then they keep giving them a few more thousand for windows. They give money to football clubs, St Andrew's Church, Church Lawford Community Centre got £250,000 last year, Hillmorton Locks, parades of shops, Southern Football Club. The list is endless, and they have the landfill tax money, which they give out to divide up the community. So a lot of the people are in different community groups that have been on the receiving hand of these donations, if you like to call them, for want of better. But it's basically a way of buying silence, because they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them. It looks ungrateful. So a lot of people are bought off. Then there's this other thing that people are afraid to speak up. This is a massive multinational company. Warwickshire County Council, the Environment Agency, are government departments, Rugby Borough Council is. They can make your life very uncomfortable and unpleasant. They can do things like having your emails blocked. They can harass you. They can do what they tried to do to me, which was twice put an ASBO on me for speaking out. They can have you thrown out of meetings. They can refuse to give you information. You can drive 50 miles and they refuse to let you look at the information. And people are afraid. People who live in the council houses are afraid of the council and the county council. People who work at the county council schools are terrified of what will happen to them if they speak out. So this climate of fear exists in rugby, and it's a terrible, sad thing, but few people are allowed to speak out. Got people from rugby school that support what I'm doing, but they don't speak out. They've been basically, you know, have to keep quiet, even though they're totally committed. There's people in the orchestras and the choirs and all these people. I'm known all over the town as a good person, but people are afraid, and it's very difficult to get them to actually speak on camera. So we've got 8,000 names on a petition that says they thought it was wrong. And now the cement plant has gives out all these propaganda leaflets, great big glossy leaflets that go out to certain areas of the town, telling them that this is good for the environment, that it's a local solution to a local problem. But everybody can see that this is no local solution. It's a huge local problem, but they are now making it worse and worse. And it's just becoming the waste dump for the whole of the UK.
Now, if you'd have heard yourself talking now as to how this whole campaign has affected you a few years ago, would you have continued to this stage? Would you have carried on all these years? Because you don't sound like a very good advertisement for campaigners out there. You sound like you're going through an awful lot of grief to slow the progression, maybe. I mean, ideally, I guess you'd like the cement works to relocate. Whether this is, you know, pie in the sky, I don't know. Whether we'll be able to see the pie in the sky for the clouds, who knows? But is it too late for you to stop? What's happening? What's the next big thing on the agenda?
Well, it's like these things, you know, it's like when you fly into Australia, you get half the way there, perhaps around Singapore, and you want to get off because you've had enough of the journey, but there's no getting off until you reach the destination. So now we've done several things. One is that we're in the Supreme Court on the 4th of December in a massive case, which is testing the Aarhus Convention, which is basically, in simple terms, the right to access to justice in the UK on environmental issues. It applies to everybody in Europe, but it doesn't apply to anybody who lives in Rugby. Rugby is a no-go area that has no human rights and no rights to access to justice. So it's a big test case which will occur in the Supreme Court. We're also in Geneva with the Aarhus Convention, and we are also going to the European Courts of Justice to get this case heard again, because we cannot understand how this act of environmental vandalism should have been allowed to happen, and that the government's own environment agency, which used to be called Environmental Protection Agency, is now aiding and abetting what is a heinous environmental crime, and that should not be going on. This is a disaster, and they have to stop it.
Wow. Well, good luck on the 4th. Good luck on the 4th. That's a cue for us to stop. Not the Cowboys coming to the rescue. That's my phone. So I want to say very good luck. And I understand that you're doing some community building behind the scenes, helping people to be a part of what's going on, to keep on assisting like they are to a certain extent in the shadows, but maybe make themselves known a little bit more. And yeah, I look forward to seeing how that pans out. But primarily, good luck on the 4th, Lillian.
Oh, thank you very much. It's really kind and great to see you again. I'll keep you posted. Bye.